Fuzzy TV.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm not obsessively vain, but I do have a decent degree of vanity, socially acceptable, enough that it is early morning, Monday, and I look terrible, I think, so I'm just wearing this pair of sunglasses. Oh, I mean, I just want to be cool, that's all, that's the only reason. I want to look at a passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The reason I'm doing this is because of Rodney Parris. Rodney Parris picked a video yesterday on the radio program that we did in 1999 on, it's called Grace Cafe Radio from Cleveland. Rodney usually ends the special videos we do on Sunday with a clip from an older video. I completely forgot about this clip. I forgot about how really insightful this is, and it surprised me all over again. It's called Watch God Set the Trap of Eternal Torment. I think it's MZTV 1093. I love this video so much, I made it a year ago. I'm going to link it down here today, and I'm going to play it next Saturday with the classics that come out on Saturday. If you're a subscriber, if you're not a subscriber, you don't know about the classics. How can you not be a subscriber? Well, that's okay, that's okay. There's still time. You go to my homepage, martinzender.com. Look at the right side of the page, and you'll see something that says subscribe, and you'll get our all the information of any new developments, new books coming out, and you also get a report called What is a Believer that will be made into a book fairly soon. So you don't want to miss out on that. We'll be able to communicate with you should there be any major shutdown in other areas. We don't anticipate that, but you never know. This is an evil eon. So to me, to see how God purposely causes people to reveal their own hearts, that their hearts are either good or their hearts are wicked. And again, the surprising thing here is that God is the one who makes vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor, and you can't get out of it. It doesn't matter whether you're a vessel, it does matter, but whether you're a vessel of honor or dishonor, God is the one who causes it. But the way he does this, the way he sets traps, to me, it's just astounding. He could do it, like, you would think he could do it 100 other ways, but the way he chooses to do it is ingenious. So let me just go with a verse. When I saw this clip yesterday, I said, this is an amazing video with an amazing truth. Paul, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he's talking about the secret of lawlessness, which is already operating in the world. He's talking about the present detainer, which is us. We will be coming out of the world, out of the midst of the world, and at that time, the lawless one, the Antichrist, will be unveiled. And the Lord Jesus will eventually do away with the Antichrist, but the Antichrist must first show up on the scene and do his thing. Christ will discard him by the advent of his presence. Verse 9, 2 Thessalonians 2, his presence, the Antichrist's presence, is in accord with the operation of Satan, with all power and signs and false miracles, and with every seduction of injustice among those who are perishing. Here's the key. There are some who are perishing in this world. That is, they do not have aeonian life. They will eventually be saved, but they're perishing now. Because why are they perishing, Martin? Because they did not receive the love of the truth for their salvation. So either being saved or perishing for the eon has to do with a love of the truth. It doesn't have to do with behavior. It has to do with the love of the truth. And I told you last week that Paul's desire for us is to know the will of God. That is a work. That's a good work. What's the best work you can do? Help old ladies across the street? That's good. Raise your kids? Well, that's good. Be kind to your neighbor. Bake a sick person a cake? Yes, that's all good. But Paul's ultimate work is to understand what the will of the Lord is. And here we see that it's the love of the truth that belongs to salvation. Those who are perishing do not receive the love of the truth. This is verse 10, 2 Thessalonians 4. Those who are perishing do not receive the love of the truth for their salvation. I don't have my physical Bible in front of me now. I'm looking online. But I believe here where the word is for. I believe the concordant has a little superscript I-O, which means into. They do not receive the love of the truth into their salvation. A love of the truth is the entrance card into salvation, but only God can give you that. Watch this. And therefore, God will be sending them an operation of deception for them to believe the falsehood. This is the trap. But, you know, as I'm reading this, it sounds here, Paul says, therefore, it sounds that, well, because they don't receive a love of the truth, therefore, God will be sending them an operation of deception. It sounds like what the free will people say. Well, some people are evil anyway, like Pharaoh. Pharaoh was already evil. He already had a hard heart, so God hardened his heart. It does seem to say that here. Therefore, God will be sending them an operation. Therefore, what do you mean, therefore? Well, because they do not receive a love of the truth for their salvation. Yes, but why don't they receive the love of the truth into their salvation? Because God doesn't give it to them. Paul says in another place, what you have that you did not receive. So this is not reception in the sense of someone exercises their free will to either reject or receive something. This is reception in that God has directly given it to someone. And when God gives it to you, you have no choice but to receive it. So God is stepping back of his own process here. God is the one who either gives you a love of the truth or does not give you a love of the truth. That's the absolute truth. And now God steps back and he says, therefore, God will be sending them an operation of deception. It sounds like God's reacting to the fact that these people don't love the truth anyway. But it is God who has not given them a love of the truth in the first place. And the reason he does this, anybody who's new is watching this. Why would God not give someone a love of the truth? Why would God not give everyone aeonian life? Why would he wait till the end of the fifth eon to bring the whole human creation in? I'm telling you, he is doing this for you. He is doing this for members of the body of Christ because he wants to lavish us with all kinds of gifts. And he needs to set up a comparison, a contrast. And so the only way he can show that there are people that he has created who love the truth, who want to know what the will of God is, he has to, on the other hand, create people who don't love the truth and who don't care what the will of God is. They only want to be religious people. They only want to look good in the eyes of the world, and they only want to massage their own self-righteousness. And it seems cruel that God would do that. It would be cruel if God would send these people who are stubborn today into an eternity of torment. God makes everyone stubborn. Yeah, he locks all up together in stubbornness, Romans 11:32, that he might be merciful to all. So some of these people remain locked up in stubbornness, but God is doing that for us. All is yours. Remember that verse from Paul. I forget where it is, but I'll put the link here. Paul says, all is yours. It's like everything is for you. We are so the darlings of God's hearts now that he is wasting other people to highlight us. He's wasting generations of people who grow up coming through the church system, never received the love of the truth because God never gave them the love of the truth. But he has given it to us. And he will, during our lifetime, show us that. He will allow us to see ourselves in a mirror. And he'll allow us to look at things we've done in our lives like, wow, I really did not believe that God could be an eternal tormentor. And I remember I looked into the concordance. Somebody told me about a concordance. Somebody told me how some critical words were mistranslated. And I searched. You might say, well, yes, but God caused you to search. I know that. But God still rewards us for the things that we do. Never mind the fact that he causes us to do the things that we do. God, he still rewards us for that. And he also still judges people who say, I don't want to see a concordance. I'm happy with the status quo. I like the fact that God's going to torment my enemies. I like the fact that I like the idea anyway. It might not be a fact. I don't care. I like the idea that I'm going to be the captain of my own salvation. I'm going to choose God. And that's why I go to heaven. And that's why I condemn other people. There are people who are still like that. And again, God sets up the discrepancy. God sets up the opposites. It doesn't seem fair. It wouldn't be fair if these people, again, were eventually tortured for eternity, but they're not. God saves them eventually, but down the road. Let's continue. You will see that Paul is agreeing with everything I'm saying here, which is very convenient that Paul agrees with me. So, therefore, God will be sending them an operation of deception. And this is the trap that God sets for people to disclose them to themselves. He discloses us to ourselves. When we look in the mirror and say, you know, I really pursue truth. I love it. We know it's a God-given gift, but nevertheless, I love the truth. These people are going to eventually have to look in the mirror and say, I never loved the truth. I never loved the truth. I was in it for myself. I was in it for the church membership. I was in it for the fellowship. And all these things are going to be exposed to people. God's behind all of it, but that's not the point right now. And that's not going to be the point either at the great white throne or at the dais of Christ. God is going to simply deal with the individual at that time. He's not going to deal with the cause of everything. He's just going to deal with the individual. You love the truth, therefore you get this reward. You didn't love truth, therefore you're standing at the great white throne instead of the dais of Christ. You missed the kingdom. You missed the snatching away. And it's going to be a sad thing, but it's going to be eventually helpful for the people who are judged. The whole purpose of judgment is for the benefit of the person that's judged. It's going to eventually be helpful. Therefore, God will be sending them an operation of deception for them to believe the falsehood. The operation of deception. Eternal torment is an operation of deception. You'll see this in the video that I'm going to link down here. I'm going to link the Rodney Parris Martin Center video from yesterday, and I'm also going to link this MZTV 1093, where I talk about God setting the trap of eternal torment. God purposely mistranslates the scriptures to make it seem like in certain places that eternal torment is true, even though there are many other verses in the scripture that teach positively the salvation of all. 1 Timothy 4:10, Romans 5:18 and 19, Ephesians 1:10, Colossians 1:16 through 20, Romans 11:32, Romans 11:36, 1 Corinthians 15:22. There are Did I say 1 Timothy 2:4? There are so many verses that you can find the salvation of all. But at the same time, God has put these other verses in there, like the rich man and Lazarus, and he mistranslated the word hell. Make sure that the translators, so-called, mistranslated the Greek words Hades, Gehenna, and Tartarus, put them all into one lump sum hell, deceiving many people. And most critically, make sure that the word Ionios and the noun Ion was mistranslated. So in some places, it looks like eternal torment is true. If you're reading out of the King James Bible or the NASB or the NIV, this is a trap God has set so that the people who actually love eternal torment in their hearts, they have ways that they can get there. They have ways that they can confirm their own sickness. In the video, I call these people sick puppies. God sets the trap and shows who really loves eternal torment. Isn't it strange that when you tell people about the salvation of all, they don't want to hear it? What? They don't want to hear it? How could that be? If they were normal people who had normal souls, normal hearts, they would say, are you kidding me? You're telling me you actually have scripture that proves that God's going to save everyone? It's like, I don't know how this could possibly be true, but I'm willing to look at it, and I pray to God that you're right. Oh, no. Oh, no. No, no. Because they like eternal torment. I don't care what people tell me. They really don't believe eternal torment, Martin. They're really good people. They do believe it, and they relish it, and they love it. They like the idea of their enemies being tortured for eternity. They've lost their conscience. They only have half their soul intact. I mean, it's just horrible. And they're going to be judged for that. Who do not believe in truth, but delight in injustice. That's what I'm telling you. They delight in injustice. Because eternally tormenting somebody, if you're God, eternally tormenting someone that you actually made the way they are, that would be unjust, but these people have no problem with it. Well, of course, they don't believe God makes people the way they are. So much more to say on that. In the video, I used the example that this is the revelation I had last year that I forgot about. This the account of Solomon. The two women, you remember this, two women lived together and they each had babies, and the one woman rolled over in the night and accidentally smothered her baby. And she said, well, this is terrible, but I know what I'll do. It's night. This other woman's sleeping. I'm going to swap out the babies. I'm going to give her the dead baby. And I'm going to take the living baby. So the woman who's child was actually still alive, woke up and found a dead baby. He goes, oh no, my baby's dead. Oh shit, shit, this isn't my baby. What the hell? So she goes to the crazy bitch who swapped out the babies and said, what have you done? This is not my baby. That dead one, that's your baby. I've seen you with this baby. That's your baby. You did this. And she says, prove it. It's your word against mine, bitch. Your word against mine. They go before Solomon. Solomon sets a trap, an incredible trap. Solomon says, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to cut the baby in. I'm going to cut the living baby in half. Then it'll be fair. We'll give each of you. And by this method, he brings out the evil woman. He brings out the evil woman, says, yeah, that's fair. Go ahead. This woman is so evil. She, since her baby's dead, she doesn't even want this other woman to have the satisfaction of a living baby. This woman's sick, and Solomon brings it out by setting the trap. Thus, God brings out the people who love eternal torment by setting the trap. He says something in the scripture that he's never going to do. Poorly translated scriptures say, if you read them wrong, like the rich man and Lazarus, you don't realize it's a parable. If you don't look carefully, there are some passages in scripture that seem, at first glance, to teach eternal torment. God did this on purpose. It's a trap. Just like Solomon, on purpose, said something he was never going to do. I'm going to cut this baby in half. He was never going to do that. It was a trap to see who the sick puppy was. Turns out, the bitch said, great, that's fair. By that, Solomon knew that that was not the mother. Because the true mother said, no, don't do it. Just preserve the child. Give it to her. Give it to her. Just do not kill the child. Solomon knew instantly, you're the true mother. I don't know what he did with the bitch, but likewise, God has set the trap of eternal torment. I say all this in the video that I leave. I can't help. I got to say it again. This is amazing how God sets the trap and shows people their own hearts. And these people, when they realize it, that they fell for every false miracle, they fell for every injustice, there won't be any place to hide. This woman in front of Solomon had no place to hide. She was exposed before everyone. These people who believe in eternal torment and free will, because they don't look carefully, because they don't want to know, they don't want to see any, they don't want to hear about a sovereign God, they don't want to hear about the salvation of all, they have their doctrines in their own head, damn it, they don't want to be screwed up by the truth. And so they're going to be exposed to themselves. In the meantime, verse 13, we ought to be thanking God always, seeing that God prefers you. This is all about the preference of God. God prefers you from the beginning for salvation in holiness of spirit and faith in the truth. Into which he calls us through our evangel for the procuring of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to receive the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the only reason we know this and the only reason we revel in it is that God has shown us the opposite. God has shown us what people look like who hate the truth, but who pretend they love the truth. And these people, they'll be saying to God on the judgment day, we love the truth. What are you talking about? We didn't love the truth. And God's going to show them the trap. You see, you strained to look at the rich man and Lazarus, and you strained to see that as a literal account rather than a parable. People told you that the word ion was mistranslated. And there's all the other verses. You had the truth. You were told the truth. And yet, you never looked into it because you were satisfied with the lie. And I know that this was all of God. I know that God's behind it. That's the amazing thing, is that God is behind this. And the only reason we have aeonian life, the only reason we come in early is because here it is, verse 13, 2 Corinthians 2. God, seeing that God prefers you from the beginning for salvation. Some people fall headlong into this trap. We have not fallen headlong into the trap. Why? It's because we have received a love of the truth. And what have you received that you did not obtain? What you have, rather, what do you have that you did not obtain? God has gifted us with the love of the truth. It's not to our ultimate credit, is it? And yet God is going to reward us as if it were.